But I tell you what, I'm excited about the Word, because the Word has changed me. I am not the same. Hallelujah. But are y'all ready to hear the Word?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I am ready myself, and I am excited, and I know that, I mean, there's fall in the air. Hallelujah. We got to understand that the seasons change, and we need to change along with the seasons. And we need to be ready in season and out of season for the things of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I want to talk to you today about there's an ability of God in each one of you. There's an ability of God. And you know, every born-again believer has God's ability in him or her in person of Jesus Christ. And for the ones that weren't here Thursday, you're going to say, what is he talking about? Well, it kind of carried over from Thursday to now. Yet, you know, but also we can also say that a few have learned to release that power. You got the power to speak to a situation in your life. You know, I mean, I don't mean go up to whatever the situation is and slap them over the head, because it's not them anyway. It's the devil working through them. So we need to start striking the devil, where the devil is due his slap every morning, every afternoon. Every time somebody rises up against you, slap the devil. Don't slap the person, because they're just being used by the devil. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
And you know, it's hard to, you know, he says, well, they did it. Yeah, but the devil work through them. But we have to understand God is in you. Now I want you to listen to this. I'm going to say it slow. God is in you to the degree that his word is in you. I'm going to say it again because it's very important. God and his, God is in you to the degree that his word is in you. God and his word are one. So when things come against you, I don't know what to do. Well, there's not much word there. You got plenty of word to conquer whatever it is, because God gave you that power in his word to speak the word over it. Some people go through a situation a whole lot longer than somebody else. Why is that? I'll back this again. God is in you to the degree that his word is in you. Okay. You ever seen people when they do something wrong? Oh, I ain't going to do that again. I'm going to move away from that, and I'm not going to do it again. Well, I'm back doing it again. You see what I'm saying? If you get the word of God and it's stronger in you, and that means God is strong in you, so you can speak to that situation and you won't go back to that situation. Because you got the word that says, oh no, my video camera says that I remember what happened last time, and I'm not going to go back to that same situation. I'm not going back to that same mud hole. I am not going back to that situation, because I got more of the word of God in me, and I am not going there again.
Amen.
And somebody, and the devil loves this, come up to you, your friend, come up to you, hey, come on, let's go on over here. We're just going to have a little fun. We won't stay long. Okay, that's your friend. You don't want to hurt your friend. And you go back right over again. Remember, you said you got to get the word in you to say, friend, I've been there and I'm not going back. We have to talk to the fox. Tell that fox, no. It don't hurt to say no. You know, just say no to things that has taken you down before. Because a lot of times, the situations that people go through, Christians go through, is because they went right back to that same situation. But you have the ability of God in you. And I'm going to read it again. God is in you to the degree that his word is in you. You got little word, you got little God. See what I'm saying? You got big word, you got big God. The more word you have, the more you have of God in your life. Because if you fill that void with God's word, you're mighty. You got a lot of God in you. And you won't go back to your old sinful ways and old ways. And, you know, some people may have the lying spirit in them. They may have this kind of spirit. They may have that. You will have more of the word, and you'll be hungry for God instead of your flesh. You see what I'm saying? Matter of fact, turn to John 1:1. John 1:1. Hallelujah. Because I said God and his word are one. Here's the reason why. John 1:1. And it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Okay? And the word was God. You say, well, I don't know where God's at. Pick up your Bible. There he is. He's not going anywhere. He is. Here he is. Because why? He said, because God and his word are one. So never, you don't ever have to say, well, I don't know where God is. Well, go find your Bible. Yeah. Open up your Bible. Start reading. Get into God's word. Then you'll know where God's at. God is speaking to you right here. He'll speak to you. Have you ever done this before? I've read a scripture before, and she's read a scripture before. I understood it completely different. She read it. She was trying to tell me about it, and it was on what God was telling her. See, God speaks to us different. The scripture is the same. But God kind of, he knows us individually. He knows her individually. He knows you individually. So the same scripture, it could mean completely something, but it all relates back to God. You see what I'm saying? You know, the word was God in the beginning. The word is still God today. He hasn't changed. And God's word is Lord over every circumstance of life. Everything that's going on in your life, God is over it. So it's like the, you know, I guess you'd say those people that get up high in the air and they get on the trapeze or whatever it is, and they swing and they flip, and it just happens. There's another one there. It's basically like God. God is there. All the little loops that we do in our life, God is there. So we can grab a hold to God and swing ourselves on out of that situation. And then sometimes we go back to that situation. We've got to go back to that again, but God is still there. You know, you don't have to worry about hitting the net down at the bottom, because God is going to be there. And we have to understand that God was, the Word was God in the beginning, and the Word is still God today. And God's Word is over every circumstance of our life. Everything. That's why a lot of people don't catch a hold to God's Word, because they don't see God in everything. You think about it, God is into everything. I don't know about you, but when I was smaller, it seemed like my mother knew everything I did. Now, she wasn't there. How did she know what I did or what went on and this, that, and the other? It's just amazing. She knew. I don't know, somebody might have told her. I don't know. But she knew what I did. My dad could do the same thing. He would say something. What were you doing out by the snack shack or the malt shop at 10 o'clock at night? How do you know I was there? So I had a 69 Camaro, and I had the dual exhaust, and it did make some noise. So I said, I'm going to get him. I'm going to creep through town. But you ever creeped in a Camaro, it blow, 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 blow. But you know, you're trying to hide. You can't hide from God. God sees everything, because why? His word is over everything. So he is there in all the circumstances. And our minds cannot grasp these truths without the revelation that God and his word are one. Until we can grab a hold to it, God and his word are one. That's like when people get married, they become one. Are you married to God? Are you married to His Word? You know, we used to have singles all the time in the group. Oh, I'll never find a husband. Well, you probably won't, because you're already confessing it out of your mouth. But you get into God's Word, and then you become one with God's Word, then God's going to send you that husband. You know, it's too many times the ladies are trying to find the man. That's not what it says in God's Word. Because I can tell you, that man of God is going to find his wife. And it's a good thing. You see what I'm saying? A lot of times we just, oh man, I'm 20 years old. I'm going to be an old maid the rest of my life. 20 years old. No, you got a lot of life ahead of you. So you see what I'm saying? Don't you're not an old maid. Put all your energy into God. I mean, I know when I was coming up, and I mean, I was putting my energy in front of God and doing God's work, and it was, man, it was awesome. And all of a sudden, here comes, you know, this young lady in my life, and we ended up getting married. But you know what? And we're going to be celebrating 20 years next month, you know? I mean, we're excited about it. Why is that? Because I said, seemed like we just got married last week. And it hadn't, because even the church that we got married in, it didn't change their name and change everything else about it. And I said, man, 20 years. But you see what I'm saying? If God's in it, it's going to be good, because God is over everything. Matter of fact, look in John 15 and verse 7. John 15 and 7. Oh, I get excited about the Word. And I love this part right here. And it took me a long time, but I finally grabbed a hold to this scripture. And I understand it, because I had to look it up in the dictionary, what does certain words mean. And, you know, have you ever been in church where a pastor used a word about that long? And what? I try to keep them simple. Because why? Because I talk simple. I want you to understand it. If you want me to use some big names, big words, I'll be glad to use some big words. But I'm not going to use them, because Jesus didn't use big words. Jesus used common sense things. So I'm going to use the same way. But like it said in John 15:7, if you abide in me, stop right there, abide, accept, or act in accordance with a rule, a decision, or recommendation. I said I would abide in their decision. You see what I'm saying? Abide. Now let's get back to the scripture. If you abide in me, if you make a decision, you do this, you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will. I like this part. And they don't say might. It says you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Period. You see, that's God's word. Somebody says, oh, you're just naming and claiming it. No, I'm naming and claiming in the scripture. What does it say? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, my words in, you know, God's words in me, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Period. You understand? So, why do we go through situations? Why do we go through it? Well, God gave us a choice. Plus, there's another thing. Finally, we are called as part of the abiding process. Abiding me, abiding you. To submit to the pruning knife of God in the provinces by which he cuts away all disloyalty, and sometimes all that is unimportant, not to us, to him. In order that we might remain in Christ all the more wholeheartedly. You see what I'm saying? Just because he abides in us and we abide in him, but we also got to be ready for the pruning knife. Oh, I ain't giving up that. Well, you're not ready. No. That's what it's saying right here. Abiding is mean you're making a decision. You're making a decision to follow Christ. You're making a decision, and you're recommending that I am going to follow Christ no matter what. the pruning shear. No, 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 I ain't going there because, no, I like that too much. I enjoy that. That is my hobby. God may not want you to have that hobby. I have had plenty of hobbies that I thought God would like. But I found out later that he didn't want me because it was taking me away from him. His love. Because it was all about me. And that's not what it's all about. It's all about God. And we have to understand that. And you know, sometimes we stagger at the love and faith which God has invested in humanity. God has an investment in you. Each one of you. He has invested. What has he invested? Didn't Jesus go to the cross and die for our sins? He loves us that much. And he has also, you know, matter of fact, Jesus also said, and I want you to look in John 14:23, because Jesus also said this. He said, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If anybody loves me, when we say we love God, we got to keep his word, right? How many Christians you know will tell you something and don't follow through with it? Think about that. And I know you're not one because you come to Hope Chapel and you know the word. So the word lives in you and you are not going to lie and tell other people things that are not true, right? You see what I'm saying? And he said, also it goes from there, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. God wants to make a home with us. He wants to live with us. Think about it. Do you want Jesus to come live at your house? Are we comfortable with Jesus living at our house? That's what I'm saying. We got to know that if we're doing what God's word says, Jesus is welcome. But if we're not, a lot of people say, I got to clean up a little bit first. You see what I'm saying? But we have to always understand that he wants to make a home with us. He wants to be able to have conversation with us as individuals. And then we come together as a group, a corporate group, where he can speak through people as we had today. They speak and it puts things in your life. It edifies your life from where your life was going to where God wants you to go. You see, the devil tries to derail us, but God wants to put us back on the track that he has for us. You know, the spirit must be expanded by the rebirth to receive, I guess you would say, the awesome truths of Jesus. We have to be born again. Renew our minds to the word. Because our minds, you think, I'm going to use 20 years ago, our minds need to be renewed and not the same as it was then. Right? We need to be growing day by day in God's word. And you know, and also, you know, Jesus spoke when he prayed to the Father, you know, let's look in John 17. We kind of touched on this a little bit Thursday. Hallelujah. But I want you to grab a hold of this. John 17, verse 23:2. And it says, and the glory which you gave me, God gave Jesus, and I have given them, us, that they may be one, just as we are one. And I was thinking about that. Do we want Jesus to be our sidekick? Come on, Jesus, let's go. We're going over here today. Is Jesus going to like it where you go? You see what I'm saying? Come on, Jesus, let's go. Come on, you riding with me. Come on, I'm driving. Come on, I'll take you on over here. We'll go over this fancy place. We'll do this and do that. Is Jesus going to be happy to go with you? You see what I'm saying? We need to grab a hold to, do we love Jesus or we just want him to tag along? But in verse 23, it says, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Whew. Anybody in here perfect?
No.
Not yet. and that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you give me may be with me where I am. Jesus wants to hang out with us. He wants to hang out with us, not just on Sunday, not on Thursday. He wants to hang out with us at all times. And it goes on to say, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Man, we got a loving God. And in verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you, that you sent me. Verse 26, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. He wants us to be hooked up together. He wants to be our bud. You know, he wants to do things with us. And also he wants us to do things for him. You see, it don't work just one way. It works both ways. He wants to hang with us, but he also wants us to hang with him. You see what I'm saying? And in Hebrews 1, it talks about what Jesus was talking about. It's an exact expression of God's substance. That's what he's talking about in Hebrews 1. And he was the exact personality of God. Jesus was the exact personality of God. And Jesus said that I and my Father are one. The Word was God. You see what I'm saying? We have God wherever we go when we carry our Bible with us. But we got to fellowship with him. How do we speak to him? We speak to him. He speaks to us. We read his word. We're speaking to him in prayer. And we also take what his word says and let it change our life. Because a lot of times we say, well, God, I just don't know what else to do. But trust you. That's all he wants. Now it means trust him. You know, the word was God, and it's upholding all things by the word and his power. His word is powerful. And a lot of people don't, well, I don't need to read that. Yeah, you do. Well, I don't need to pray. Yeah, you do. God wants to be your bud. And how are you going to be his bud if you don't fellowship with him? If you don't pray with him, pray to him, and also listen to him? You know, he doesn't want just a one-way conversation. You abide in me, I abide in you. We work together on this thing. Whatever situation you're going through, we're going to work together, and we're going to get out of this situation. I'm going to show you the glory of God when we get to the other side. You see what I'm saying? We got to trust in the Lord. And we have to understand that God releases his ability in word form. The Bible. Everybody should have one. He releases it in word form, and it upholds all things. And we have to understand that the whole universe stands in obedience to God's word. What happened in Genesis? Let there be light. Light. His word is powerful. His word is everything is obedient to his word. So when you speak out of your mouth, are you speaking God's word? Or are you speaking, oh, poor, pitiful me? You see what I'm saying? We need to be bold. Tell that fox, get on with himself, because I got things to do. You see what I'm saying? So we need to understand that. We must learn to release that ability within us. We've got the ability. You've got it. Just like you have air in your tires. But if you don't ever drive it, you see what I'm saying? You got air in your tires on your vehicle. It is made for it to roll easy. Okay. You have the power of God on the inside of you. It's in you, in the spiritual realm. You can speak to situations, so we need to use it. You don't want to use it like you're, put air in your vehicle or gas or whatever it is. It's in there. God's in here. That ability is in us to use it against the devil and speak against the devil. Because he can't win, but he's going to want to disrupt your life so much to where you get so confused. The devil loves confusion. I minister to a bunch of confused Christians. Well, they say they're Christians. I'm going to say they are. If they said they are, I believe them. But they don't, you can't, you know, you'll know them by their fruit. Some of them are a little rotten. But you understand what I'm saying. That they know, they need to know the word of God. And they need to know that they have that ability to speak to a situation that's going on in their life. They need to speak to whatever it is that's going on that is trying to drag them down. Because the devil wants to just put confusion in your mind. That's all it is confusion. It's not reality of what the outcome is going to be unless you release all your power to the devil. You see what I'm saying? We have the power. We keep the power. And we use the power. And guess what? The next time we go to use that power, we'll be even stronger because we're using God's word. You know, we're talking about working out at the gym. Work out in God's word. Hallelujah. We need to understand that his ability through his word will conquer anything that goes on against us. Matter of fact, look in John 16 and verse 33. 16:33. And Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you." Well, I ain't ever heard God. Well, you hadn't opened up your Bible. John 16:33, let's see. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." I don't know what to do. And my hair picked, my nail, I don't know what to do. Back to where we were talking about, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." Why does a Christian want to fool around in the world? We're not of this world, right? But why we want to play around in somebody's neighborhood that we know it's going to be bad? Tribulation. It says right here, "You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Somebody told me that one time. Well, Jesus, he did that. He overcome the world. But the power that he had is in us. So guess what? I can overcome the world too. Well, that makes you calling yourself, you the same as Jesus? I'm just saying he gave me the power that he had. I can overcome the situations. I may have had a bad name. I may have done things that were ridiculous. But I can tell you one thing. I'm not going to let my past define my future. Because I am changed from what I used to be. And I can tell you one thing. God's got his eyes and said, "Look at my boy. Look at him. He's doing good. He is. Boy, he was a mess. But look at him now. He's serving me. He's giving me all the glory and honor. He's following me." And the same thing with each one of you. Is he saying that to you? "Boy, you were messed up. Come on. It's time to move. Come on now. Get in my word and you'll be strengthened. And you got the power and authority. Come on." Some of the Christians just sit there. And they'll die right there. Not reaching the full potential where God wants them to get at the other end of the spectrum. You see what I'm saying? We need to understand that God moves and cheers us on. Go, go. Because he said, don't we have a cloud of witnesses? Who do you think that is? Whoo! I could imagine Moses. I could imagine David. I could imagine Joshua. I could imagine. That's your cloud of witnesses. Come on! You don't know what I did. I killed an Egyptian. Moses, for the ones that don't know. But look where he went. He's made it. He was God's man to bring out millions of God's people through the desert while they were there complaining. And they were fussing and they were doing this, they were doing that. And, you know, I guarantee he wanted to take that staff. I guarantee you he wanted to do that, just taking it and say, "Okay, let's see. There ain't a knot right there. Keep on complaining. Look where we've come from. The same thing in our life. Look where we come from and look where God has got us now. Look where I was looking at today. 4 years ago, we had grass and dirt out there. Now it's concrete. 4 years. We've gone through it. Oh, man, I wish we had some concrete out there. No, we didn't complain. It just, whew, God supplied the need of concrete. You see what I'm saying? We just need to be faithful in those little things. Whoa, and then God's going to add unto us for those bigger things in our life. Somebody was talking about, well, man, all I make is this, and I just give a dollar in the tithe. I said, if that's all you got, God's going to honor it. And next minute, you know, they're driving in a new car. They're doing the, God's honoring your tithes and offering. God honors all of that kind of stuff. That's not me. I can't honor you because you give your tithes and your offering. It's you and God that gives, and God sees it. And guess what? As we said Thursday, for those that are following God's word, you're going to see raises. You're going to see promotions. Why? Because you're doing what God's word says to do. And things were going to start falling on you, and things are start going to happen. God's going to change some things around. You're going to see the promotions. You're going to see those raises coming in. And with the economy that are not there, as they say, the oil field is dried up. But I know some people in the oil field right now that are getting raises. Now, that's not tilt. Why is that? Because they're tithing. They're doing what God's word said. They're being faithful. And those little things, and God's going to bring those mighty things to them. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And you know, many people are held in bondage. You know, what you mean bondage? Well, it could be money. It could be just anything that goes on. They want humongous boats, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with them, but if they can't afford it, there is something wrong with it. If you can't pay for it, and you're a Christian, that's not good. You're supposed to be setting an example for the world to see God through you. But if you buy something and you can't afford it, and you're not showing the Christian the way God would have you, God's going to bless you. Somebody said something about, yeah, God bless you with a house. They also probably not knowing that that note might be $6,000. But, you know, is that a blessing? Or a curse. For me, that would not be a blessing because I'd have to pay for that. And I trust in the Lord, but God knows exactly what I can handle. You know, a lot of people try to live above their means, and then all of a sudden they're drawing, I don't know what to do. I can't pay for this. Well, you can't pay for it because you probably didn't listen to God. God was probably, the Holy Spirit was saying, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Not yet. But you went on anyway. Man, it looked good in my driveway. That looked good out there on there. That looked good. That ain't what God said to do. That's where we have to understand about those pruning knives. Hallelujah. But we need to understand a lot of things that God has that power that lives on the inside of us. You know, we're just that sure of God's spiritual laws. You know, you talk about spiritual laws. There's a law of gravity, which I've told y'all this years ago, or maybe yesterday, I don't know. But like I said, there's a law of gravity, right? When you go to bed at night, you're not afraid that you're going to wake up on the ceiling, are you? No. But if there was no gravity, you would. But there's a law of gravity. So when you go to bed at night, you don't think about, well, I guess I'll wake up on the ceiling in the morning. No, you don't. It's the same thing with God's word. There's a law, a spiritual law. It's just that God's law, it works continually. So it's not like gravity stops and, you know, I'm going to set my clock so I won't end up on the seat. No, gravity works continuously. Also, God's law works continuously. So we have to understand because they work the same yesterday, today, and forever. They never will change. You change, we change. But God never changes. You see what I'm saying? You know, the word said that God does not change. God's word never changes, but it changes things. We have to understand, when we speak God's word out of our mouth, we got to understand that God is fixing to change some things. Anything you speak out of your mouth? Not necessarily. If you speak God's word, you're going to see the good of it. But if you speak ungodly words out of your mouth, you're going to see ungodly things. So what do you rather have? Good things or the bad things? Because you have what you say, what you speak. That's what God's word says. So be careful on what you speak out of your mouth and understand that the power of God, you have the ability to speak against anything that comes against you. You know, I mean, I heard Mr. Joe talking about it one time. He said at sporting events, you wouldn't even need a referee, umpires, or anything if it wouldn't be for the coaches and the parents. And it's true. Hit the nail on the head. You don't need anything but God's word to be living in you. Because he said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. And you're here today and you're hearing the word. And the word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Your faith should be growing because you have heard the word. You see what I'm saying? So we have that ability of God in us. The power of God resides in us. It resides in whatever my address is. Or, you know, if I'm in the lamp, you know, you think about it. You know, you go and you check out. You got your number. Whatever on the number is, it's in the book of life, you know. I don't know if even God has it. He just has a name, far as I know. And, you know, we want to make sure our name is in the book of life. A lot of people think their name's in there because, oh, man, you just don't know what I did. I cleaned a fence row for this elderly couple, and I did this, and I did that. But that don't mean you're going to get to heaven. That means they got their driveway cleared for nothing. You're still going to hell. No matter what you do, only way you're going to get to heaven is to be born again. To accept Jesus, to let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Let Jesus be the one who you follow him and not yourself, your own desires. That's the only way that you're going to get to heaven. And if you ever want to come cut my grass, and you can cut my grass anytime you want, but that ain't going to get you to heaven. I can tell you, it'd make heaven on earth for me, but you won't get to heaven. Just because you cut my grass or anybody else's grass. And then people say, well, I don't believe there's a real hell. Well, according to the word, I'm not going to believe what you're saying. I'm going to believe what the word of God says, that there is a hell. And it says right there, it's hot as Hades. And I like summer, but I don't like it hot as Hades. Because, I mean, sometimes, like right now, I'm sweating and I know the air conditioner's on. But I can tell you one thing, it's going to be a whole lot hotter. And it's going to be a whole lot more, it's going to be awful, folks. So it's time today that we make up our mind that we're going to follow Jesus. You know, I've seen people that's been in church 10 years, and all of a sudden they came up and wanted Jesus to be the Lord of their life. And I figured they were already saved. I never saw them except on church, but they weren't saved. They weren't born again. But they knew the only way to get to heaven is to accept Jesus, for him to be the Lord of their life. Hallelujah.